Have you ever woke up and thought you saw somebody standing in the doorway, but no one was there? I have. And today we're going to hear other stories about shadow people. Shadow people are some of the most mysterious entities that is known in this universe. Today we have a paranormal investigator, Mike Ricksecker. He's going to be talking about his own experience of a tall, dark, humanoid figure that appeared in his room as a child. And we're going to be talking about his book, a bestseller, A Walk in the Shadows. I'm Tony Sweet with Truth Be Told. Please welcome to the Truth Be Told studios, the one and only author and ghostorian, Mike Ricksecker. How are you doing, Mike?
Yeah, doing pretty well, Tony. Thanks so much for having me on tonight.
Oh, I appreciate it. And we're always excited to have people like yourself, the researchers that go out in the field and get all this stuff, and the chickens like me that pee their pants just watching the TV shows about it.
Right.
well, first of all, you know, when I bring people on the show, I always say with UFOs, ghosts, you know, a lot of people in this industry that really have been doing this for a long time, they have their own stories, because there's always an incident or something that's happened in their life that put them on this track. So can we start with what started you researching shadow people? So was it an incident?
Yeah.
Please tell us.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. You know, usually for most people, it's some sort of incident, something that has happened to them within their life that has sent them down this road. And so for me, it was when I was about 8 years old. I woke up in the middle of the night, and there was this tall, dark figure standing in the corner of my bedroom. Now, of course, at the time, I had no idea about shadow beings, shadow entities, anything like that. Mm-hmm. I just thought there was an intruder in the house, and it was about to kill me, because, you know, that's right. About what you think at 8 years old. Of course, I'm still alive to tell the tale, which is great.
Or are you?
But it did. Yeah, you never know. Maybe I'm a ghost right now. But it did get physical with me. So, you know, I'm trying to scream. Nothing's coming out of my mouth because I'm just too frightened. It approached my bed, leaned over. I'm staring up into this black face. You know, there's no eyes, no nose, no mouth, nothing. Everything's just black. And it actually took me by the wrists, crossed my arms across my body, and then it ran off down the hall and, of all places, into a closet. And at that point, I found my voice, found my legs, ran off screaming to my parents' bedroom. And, you know, of course, they were nice parents, and they tried to console me and calm me down, and tried to tell me that I had just had a bad dream, but I'd been awake for, you know, this whole incident.
Well, I mean, I've never had an incident of shadow people, but I've definitely, you know, you've seen people in the corner of your eye, and you look around, there's nobody there. But when I was a child, I did see a old man ghost that was in my mm-hmm. house. So it wasn't necessarily a shadow person. But what makes a shadow people, person, man versus a spirit, ghost of somebody that is actually visually you can see? What's the difference between the two?
Yeah, that's kind of the million-dollar question. You know, what exactly are these things? What are these shadows? And, you know, there are actually a number of different things. So whenever I get that question, okay, what is a shadow person?
Right.
It basically opens up a can of worms.
Right.
So, you know, one of the things that they could possibly be, that many of them are they are just human spirits. They can't fully manifest as an apparition, so they come off as a shadow instead. Mm-hmm. And many of these shadows are just that. Some of them are interdimensional beings that they've entered into our plane of existence from somewhere else. Some of them are ETs, that they are extraterrestrials. And there's a large crossover of ET sightings and shadow phenomena. You hear a lot of similar stories between the two. Some of them could possibly be time travelers, possibly astral projections. So, you know, you start getting into the realm of the unusual when you start getting into shadow entities.
So really, these can be a lot of different things, and each incident may not be the same type of entity. So
right, exactly, because we only see within a small spectrum of light,
right.
And so, you know, these entities, if we could see, you know, all spectrums, you know, we would see so many, you know, different things around us that would probably just blow our minds.
Right.
And what we're catching are these entities passing through our field of vision for just a brief moment. They're able to resonate at that frequency for a short period of time, and we catch a glimpse of them.
Well, when did you start writing about shadow people and the paranormal?
Yeah, I started writing about the paranormal. It was about 2006, 2007.
Oh, wow.
I've been writing my entire life.
Yeah, you have a lot of books.
I've been doing that since I was about... I've been writing since I was about 7 years old. And, you know, started off with mystery stories. I always liked the Encyclopedia Brown books when I was a little kid, and I wanted to mimic those. So I was writing little mystery stories. And I wrote some little ghost stories as well, and historic fiction, if you could imagine that with a seven-year-old. it amounted to like George Washington and a lieutenant talking back and forth and some stick figures, but it was fun. And my first book was actually a mystery novel, but I was also writing some paranormal fiction at the time, and I'd been involved with the paranormal, you know, kind of some way, shape, or form since about 1989, 1990, somewhere around there. And, you know, so I always had that influence. And it was after my first mystery novel was out, and I was trying to market that, you know, my first editor, my first publisher for the paranormal,
right,
came along and said, hey, you know, I know you're a fiction writer, but I see you also have an interest in the paranormal. We're looking to expand our line of paranormal books, and you live in the state of Maryland. Would you be willing to take on a nonfiction book about ghosts in the state of Maryland? And it was kind of a no-brainer, like, yeah, absolutely, let's do that.
Well, when you started writing about shadow people, and this is the book right here, let me show people, it's A Walk in the Shadows, A Complete Guide to Shadow People. When you started doing the research for the book, and what was your biggest discovery while researching this, or what is some of the biggest misconceptions of shadow people?
Yeah, that's there's a lot of research to be had, and I think I kind of even surprised myself, even though, you know, I've been involved with the field for so long, you know, had been hearing stories from other people about shadow entities, you know, these other people relating their experiences to me, because I started doing presentations on,
right,
On shadow people, you know, probably, you know, 10, 12 years ago, something like that. And, you know, it was just kind of almost mind-boggling how many, you know, just a variety of different kinds of shadow entities that people, mm-hmm, had experienced. Probably the biggest misconception is, you know, the idea that all of them are evil. And I hear that from so many people that, you know, they believe that, you know,
right,
all shadow people are like the darkest of the dark, the evil,
right,
the most, you know, evil things. And it's just simply not the case. Yes, there are some that are evil, nasty, and nefarious. I'm not going to deny that. There certainly are. But it's going to sound overly simplistic, but I relate it like this. You know, same with humans, that some humans are good, some humans are bad.
Right.
Some shadow people are good, some shadow people are bad. Just really depends on the particular one that you're dealing with. And most of them are just, you know, rather benign. You know, they're just standing there watching and observing, mm-hmm, which, you know, may creep us out. It may be kind of like an invasion of privacy. Why is this thing in my room in the middle of the night sort of thing? A lot of them are seen during the daytime too. So, you know, that part of it's disconcerting, but most times they're not up to doing anything nasty. They're just watching, or they're running down a hallway or passing through a room. So that's really the biggest misconception.
You said that this shadow person, when you were a child, grabbed your wrist. Is that common, mm-hmm, that shadow people actually grab or touch or physically harm people? Or most ghosts, you just see it and pass through you. You don't feel anything, or you just feel like a chill, but not necessarily somebody,
right,
grabbing you.
Yeah, it's certainly not as common. There are physical interactions, but, you know, they're fairly rare. So, and that was my only, you know, real physical interaction with a shadow entity. I've seen many since then. Saw another when I was 13, and then as a paranormal investigator, I've seen many.
Yeah.
out on different investigations. So yeah, there are entities that get physical. And this one, you know, looking back on it, I've had to look back hard at this thing on several occasions, and mm-hmm. you know, it didn't actually hurt me. I mean, it did something, you know, it of course invaded my space, did something very odd in crossing my arms. People asked me what that felt like, and it really felt like anybody else just, you know, touching me. You know, it didn't feel electric, it didn't feel chilly or anything like that. It just felt like a person taking my arms like that. You know, there have been several different ideas and suggestions as to, you know, whether or not it was putting me into a burial pose. Like maybe I thought that that I was dead. A couple months ago, I just went through a hypnosis session. First time I've done that. And one of the things I wanted to do was get to the bottom of this thing. And what came out of that hypnosis session was that this entity that was there didn't realize that I could actually see it. And then when it realized that I did see it and it had frightened me, it was actually trying to comfort me, like almost put me in like a little hug. And I saw within that hypnosis session, another part of, you know, kind of almost like a vision in which after I crossed my arms, it patted me on the wrist. And I don't, you know, recall that. I'm getting that from this hypnosis session. So that was really interesting. And another interesting part of that was, you know, the question that was posed, you know, where do you come from? And the entity basically responded with that it came from another space. And the follow-up question, do you mean another dimension? And you know, the response was, well, you might call it a dimension, but we call it another space. So that was really interesting.
No, that is interesting. And I think what I've noticed, I've been doing this show for about eight years, and after interviewing many people in the paranormal world, from the ufology to, you know, ghostorians, if you want to call it that. I love that, by the way.
Thanks.
But I've noticed that everything is kind of combining, where angels, extraterrestrials, spirits, ghosts, Bigfoot, you know, all these are coming to the point where interdimensional beings, where if it's time travel or if it's a portal or something that opens up, you know, from one dimension to the other, do you think that many of like extraterrestrials, UFOs that we have been talking about for thousands of years in the Bible and other things are very similar to shadow people? Can they be one and the same?
Yeah, everything's connected.
Right.
You know, a big project that I'm working on right now, a new platform that I've launched here earlier this year, is the Connected Universe. And basically the idea that, you know, all these different things that we're talking about, you know, whether it's, you know, quantum physics or interdimensional beings or ghosts or, you know, angels, whatever, that all these different things are connected to each other some way, shape or form. And these things have been with us for, you know, basically time immemorial. You look at, you know, ancient cultures. I was just out in Egypt, but I cover Egypt in my book, A Walk in the Shadows, in which, you know, they believed in seven different parts of the soul. And one of those parts was the shadow, which stayed here on Earth, while, you know, other parts of the soul went on to the constellation of Orion in the afterlife. You know, so you see these connections going, you know, far, far back into time. And, you know, I've seen things with my own eyes that made you question, you know, when it comes to shadows, okay, did I really just see, did I see a ghost? Did I see a time traveler? Did I see, you know, a time slip, which is actually a little different? Did I see an interdimensional being? And a great example of that is, I was investigating a restaurant out in Muskogee, Oklahoma. We had just finished up the investigation. A couple of guys were up in the bar area. A couple of others were out in the restaurant area. And or the dining room, and I was just doing the last photo sweep, walked through the main door of the kitchen, and all of a sudden this shadow just darted right across the room and boom, slammed into the side door. That was just this little flimsy metal door. You could tap it with your finger, the thing would open, but the door didn't move when it slammed into it. So it's like, okay, what exactly did I just see? And I'm calling out to the others. Hey, did you guys hear that? They're like, yeah, we heard that. And I started for a moment thinking they were messing with me. Like maybe they threw something at the door to spook me or whatever. So I go out there, I'm looking around. They didn't throw anything at the door. And if they had, the door would have moved. So, you know, kind of like the big, you know, crux of the book, kind of a culmination when it comes to interdimensional beings, is that, you know, I believe what I saw was something on another plane of existence, that when I walked into that kitchen, perhaps it saw me as a ghost, perhaps it saw me as a shadow, but I certainly scared it, and it flew right across that that kitchen through that door, and perhaps on its plane of existence, in its dimension, it blew right through that door and out into the dining room area.
Oh my God.
Sound, working on a different wavelength and a different frequency, was able to traverse the dimensions, and I was able to actually hear it, even though I couldn't see it because it was on a different plane.
Wow. That's pretty amazing. Like, that is, that experience, like I said, I've never had a bad experience with it, but just to hear that story, that's crazy. What do you think about the mental state of the people that experience? Not, you know, because people are like, oh, these people are crazy. You know, they must have like a, you know, some kind of mental illness to be able to see, you know, evil spirits or whatever. What do you think about when people say that? What, because most people that see this, like I said, I was a child. I think more children get to see spirits than adults, because, you know, we're more open to it, and adults haven't told us what we should or shouldn't be seeing at that time. But
right.
What do you think about the mental state of a person when they do see a spirit or a shadow person?
I mean, you know, it's one of the things that I've kind of taken pride on in this field with a number of my books, and that, you know, I've shared and related, you know, all these experiences, not just my own experiences, but experiences of other people as well, to kind of, help show people that, you know, you are not crazy. Other people are having these experiences.
Right.
And I think the crazy ones are the ones that are, you know, calling people crazy.
Just, right.
You know, this stuff is all around us. How have you not had, you know, some sort of experience yet? And I understand a lot of people haven't had experiences, but it's funny. I believe most people have, and they just don't recognize it. Like, you know, my father doesn't believe in the paranormal. He's coming around these days. But years ago, he would sit there and say, you know, I don't believe in ghosts, I don't believe in the paranormal, all that. And then he would relate this story to me of where he had his own shadow experience.
Oh, so he admitted it.
Yeah. He admitted that there was this, you know, figure that walked into his room one night, and he just kind of sat up in bed and said, you know, I don't know who you are, but you need to get out of my house. And the thing turned tail and ran. And I'm like, Dad, that's a ghost story. And he's like, nah. And so,
nah, that was just, you know, Bob down the street.
Right. So, but he's starting to come around these days a little bit more.
Yeah. Like I said, my family have always believed in this type of stuff, in spirits, but you know, I think more and more that we've got into the 21st century now, more people are open to, you know, UFOs and ghost stories, because everybody, again, I think most 90% of the people have experienced something in their lifetime.
And it's one of the great things about, you know, our technology these days, and you know, social media, the advent of the internet, a lot of the television shows now, because people didn't talk about this before. It was taboo. You know, it was like Hans Holzer, you know, the Warrens, and a handful of others, and that was it. And they were all considered crackpots. And so if you watched anything that they were doing or reading their books, you were a crackpot too. But you know, like with the advent of the World Wide Web in the mid-90s, like, you know, I was in a small town, had, you know, some of these different experiences. I had nobody to talk to.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, okay, there are these websites and these forums and these message boards that I could, you know, talk to, you know, others who have had these experiences. And so that really helped. And then the television shows started coming out, Scariest Places on Earth, Ghost Hunters, and all that. And so they were, you know, showing people on television, hey, you know, these are things that people are reporting. So, you know, fast forward 20, 25 years later, you know, more people are, you know, open now, to feel more comfortable talking about these things, so we can have a deeper conversation now.
So when you put together A Walk in the Shadows, what was your intent? What did you want to share that maybe that other people have not shared before, just so we can get a idea of, you know, what you went into writing this book?
Yeah, I really wanted to share with people that, you know, when it comes to this type of phenomenon, that, you know, it's not just one single, you know, compartmentalized thing, that there's a plethora of different types of activity happening around us. So, you know, the first part of the book goes into like all the different types of shadow entities. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a big part in there on sleep paralysis, old hag syndrome, and all of that, because that's a common question that people have, are, you know, shadow entities and sleep paralysis. It is something that is very, very frightening to people. So I wanted to try to explain that a little bit further, and then get into, you know, a lot of the different theories, you know, interdimensional beings, ETs, all that, about, you know, what these, you know, different phenomena could be. And then, of course, dispel the idea that all of them are evil.
Yeah. Have you had this sleep paralysis before?
I have, a little bit differently than most people have experienced it. You know, most people experience it when, you know, they wake up, and it's a natural biological phenomenon.
Right.
You know, your body paralyzes you while you sleep so that you don't act out your dreams while you're sleeping.
Right.
I've had it the other way around, though, where it's happened a couple times to me, where my body was so exhausted that it just physically turned off. Hmm. But my mind was still awake and functioning, which was very frightening, especially the very first time that it happened to me. I was at work at the time too. I was in the Air Force, so I was, you know, you did not want to get caught sleeping on the job,
right,
when you're in the military. So, you know, I could hear everybody around me and everything. So that was really frightening. And I figured out how to get out of it. But, you know, the thing is that, you know, people don't always see shadow entities when they have sleep paralysis, and, you know, vice versa. So I've tried to dispel this notion that the medical community puts out there, that, you know, shadow people are a hallucination happening mm-hmm. from your dreams while you're experiencing sleep paralysis. I mean, people see shadow entities all the time while they're not having sleep paralysis, while they're not even in bed. I mean, all the experiences right. that I've had, only one was related to a bed, and that was my very first one. And I was able to move, mouth opened up, arms crossed. I could turn my head when, you know, the thing ran off down the hall. So I wasn't paralyzed. And I always find it funny how they say, well, it's a, you know, hallucination, your dream acting itself out, you know. And it's like, well, wait a minute. We dream about all kinds of different things, not just people. You know, we might have cars or trucks in our dreams, you know, trees, bushes, airplanes, you know, flying overhead. Mm-hmm. I've had dreams of being on stage with Motley Crue, and I've never woken up to, you know, 10,000 people in my room and the pyrotechnics going off and all that. I mean, that would be fun.
Right.
But that hasn't happened. You know, what people experience is this person. And the idea that I postulate in the book is this, that sleep paralysis is a real biological phenomenon. Shadow people are a real supernatural phenomenon. And sometimes they happen at the same time. And just to kind of give an idea here, and most people will relate to this, that have had children, that you know, child comes into the room middle of the night, you know, they've had a bad dream or whatever, and they come up to the bed. A lot of times they will tap you on the shoulder, try to shake you awake. But there are other times, and my youngest son Cameron was notorious for this, where they don't do that. And they just stand there at the edge of the bed and they just stare at you.
That's freaky.
And, you know, yeah, it's freaky. And you wake up and I'd be like, oh, Cameron, what are you doing?
Right.
And he'd say, oh, I had a bad dream. I need a glass of water, whatever. Okay, we go take care of it. But what was it that woke me up? Basically, it was his presence. You know, he didn't touch me or anything. It was his presence, his energy that I could feel. We each have a toroidal field of energy that surrounds us. And when his energy field crossed mine, then I could feel his presence. And I think that's what's happening with these shadow entities. We are feeling their presence in our room. We could feel their energy, and that's what's waking us up. And then we see the shadow entity standing there. Our immediate thought is usually it's an intruder, not a shadow entity. We usually think there's an intruder in the house. Now I'm scared. Now I'm frightened. What's going on? Oh my gosh, I can't move, because sleep paralysis is a natural biological thing. And so it's a kind of a snowball effect.
you know, many times I've worked with a lot of psychics, talked to a lot of psychics, and they're like, oh yeah, we can go in and clean the house. We'll clear the house. You know, just tell them to go away. With, you know, extraterrestrials, UFOs, a lot of abductions, a lot of times they find out that abductions are very family hereditary. So, you know, grandma, I guess, talked about, you know, she was abducted, great grandma, or it kind of went through the family tree. What about shadow people and spirits like that? Can they pass on to different generations?
Yeah, I mean, at least as far as, you know, being able to pick up on and see and have those experiences, you know,
Right.
there's a genetic disposition within our DNA that gets passed down.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll have those genetic markers, you know, from one generation to the next that makes us more predisposed to seeing and experiencing these things.
Right.
Now, I believe everybody can see them, but there are others that, you know, like my girlfriend, Nicole, is an amazing psychic medium. And yeah, I've got a little bit of something going on too, but I'll never have what she has going on. But there are other things I see and experience, you know, that are more, congruent with my DNA than with hers.
But how have you heard about somebody like a psychic, your girlfriend, being able to clear a house of shadow people?
I mean, there are some that will say that they can do that, but it's not as cut and dry as many of them, you know, will make out. You know, as a paranormal investigator, you know, we've done house cleansings before, and a lot of times you have to go back. And we would use psychic mediums, you know, to help us out in this. You know, the ones that are just like, you know, sage the place down and say this and do that real and it'll be done. No. A lot of times it's, you know, there's a lot of work that has to be done to make them move on.
In fact, we'll take more questions from the chat room, but Stacy said, was just watching the Dead Files. Apparently shadow people cannot be removed, but has to decide on its own. I was like, maybe you can just not take a shower. Maybe you can stink.
I mean, really, it's the free will of any entity. All entities have free will. So, right. You know, it's you're trying to convince them to move on, whether that's by force or by coercion. And the thing, I love Amy Allen, but she's one of those that tends to pit shadow people as being all evil, and they're not. So it really depends on what you're talking about.
Right, right.
You know?
Well, you said you put together this series, The Shattered Dimension. Is this mm-hmm. You said this was the book just in a docu-series form?
Well, sort of. So, you know, I recount my experiences, the experiences of many others, and we start down the path of, you know, we're going to specific locations to, you know, see if, you know, if we can experience the shadows there, if we can try to discover what is generating them. We've chosen locations that have reported portal activity going on. The first location, the Conjuring House. So the real house that the movie The Conjuring is based mm-hmm. off of. We also go to Mineral Springs Hotel in Alton, Illinois. Kind of limited as far as locations because we filmed this during 2020, which, you know, I mean, COVID. So,
right, yeah.
But yeah, we have a lot of great experts weighing in on a lot of this, you know, different type of phenomenon. You know, we actually, you know, run through an investigation there, and some of the footage that we captured was really compelling as far as seeing the, especially at the Conjuring House, seeing the energy from the portal that's going on within the house that these shadow entities and other things there are passing through.
I'm going to see if I can find this picture and see if this is the picture of the Conjuring House. Is that it there?
Yep, that's it.
And for the people out there that haven't seen the movie or even just know much about it, could you explain what that is?
Well, yeah, if you go by the movie, the movie is not what really happened.
Well, of course, you know, Hollywood always has to make it more.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the movie tries to make it out to be a demonic possession. The Warrens came in and, you know, fixed it, and everything was happy. You know, within, I guess, I don't know, maybe the movie takes a place in about a month's period of time. But when the Perrin family lived there, and the house dates back all the way into the 1600s. The Perrin family lived there for 10 years during the 1970s. And throughout all 10 of those years, they were, you know, experiencing major, major hauntings. The Warrens came in 1973. They were introduced to the house through the Johnson brothers, Carl and Keith. And, you know, with all the different things that were going on, you know, the Warrens decided that they needed to conduct a seance to contact these spirits and try to get some of them to move on. And really what happened was a seance that went bad. So during this seance, something took a hold of Carolyn and threw her back from the dining room into the parlor room. It basically knocked her out cold. And, you know, of course, this isn't in the movie either, but, you know, Roger went running to his wife to try to make sure that she was okay. Ed was telling him to back off. Roger, you know, punched him dead in the face, and the Warrens left and never came back. And for the next, you know, 7 years, hauntings continued to happen and still do to this day. But they experienced a lot of different things there, you know, all kinds of apparitions, shadow smoke. They experienced time slips there in which they would, you know, had witnessed a, you know, 17th century family in their dining room, and that family turned and looked at them as if they were the ghosts. So they experienced all kinds of different things within that house. UFO sightings above as well.
So do you think there's a porthole there, or that since so many different types of entities are being shown there?
Yeah, I think basically what's going on. I mean, for one, you're talking about very, very old land.
Right.
You know, the Native Americans are very prevalent around there.
Right.
So there may be some ties back to that. People do report seeing, you know, apparitions of Native Americans on the land. So, you know, we don't know how much that ties into it. But to me, all indicators point to the well room. So it's basically this room that's in the basement of the house. It still has an open well with water in it. The walls are made of limestone and then capped with granite blocks.
Oh, wow.
So it's like a perfect little power plant down
there.
And most of the significant things that happened in that house basically stem straight up from that room. So the seance that went bad is there on the second floor where, you know, the shadow smoke was seen. And they reported basically time kind of, you know, disappearing like they were in a bubble. That happened up there. I got lightheaded up in that top bedroom. The photo that I captured that looks like I'm capturing the energy of a portal. It looks like interdimensional phasing where you see like this phase shift going on is right up there. So all these different things, the time slip happened, you know, right there straight up from that room. So yeah, everything seems to me to stem from that well room.
Well, what I like to do is I like to show a little trailer of your,
sure,
docuseries. If we'll come back and you can let everybody know where to see that. It's The Shadow Dimension.
Absolutely.
So don't go anywhere. We're going to come back after this trailer, and everybody get ready for your questions. So if you have questions for Mike Ricksecker, anything with shadow people, paranormal, we'd love to have you ask, and we'll be right back after this little trailer. Don't go anywhere.
There's a kind of a hallway connecting the bedrooms. Coming down that hall was something, I want to say black, but it was more like the absence of vision, something dark. My first thought was there's a fire in the house and I'm going to smell smoke. It was somewhat rolling towards me, but formless, just darkness. It's somebody in an erased reality.
Thank you. I have to sit down for a minute.
Okay.
Can you take the camera from me?
Yes, certainly. What's the matter, Mike?
Something over here, I don't know.
I just think it's getting darker in here.
I woke up in the middle of the night one night, and there was this tall, dark figure standing in the corner of my room.
What is this? Who are they? I tend to think they're from another dimensional space.
I call it a gravitational distortion.
Whoa! Pointing right at the hole.
It's all right over here.
That's right. This is where the energy is.
I think this is kind of an opening to another reality.
So you can see all these connections that are interwoven.
I have frequently described as a portal cleverly disguised as a farmhouse.
That's the bedroom in which I had the experience when I was about 8 years old.
Amare Ayak Lefsorga.
It had red glowing eyes.
And that smoke came forth, something in my face walking in here.
I think something's happening here.
The shadow knows.
That's right, the shadow knows.
Well, that was a great trailer. And
thank you.
I mean, putting that together must have been a fun little outing.
Yeah, it was a lot more work than I anticipated. You know, it's 6 episodes, each about, you know, 30 to 35 minutes each.
Right.
It's a lot of work, but I absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
There's so much that's just really packed in there.
Yeah. And that's one thing that I just started a new series called The Truth Traveler, and taking Truth Be Told on the road and going to,
oh, great,
you know, UFO sites and haunted places and ancient sites. And yeah, it's something that I've always wanted to do, because just sitting in the studio sometimes is great, but it's fun to get out in to actually see the places. So, but where can people find this docuseries?
Yeah, you can find all the information on it, shadowdimension.com. Right now, it's streaming on Tubi TV, Vimeo, Kosm, and Zuzu, which is a Canadian streaming platform.
Oh, nice. Nice. And real quick, back to the shadow people, because I'm curious, because and this gets to one of our questions, and it's school the world. It says, are the NSA shadow people? have you ever heard of maybe, I mean, because okay. if you think about it, you know, maybe this is future humans. We've talked about this with, you know, UFOs and ancient alien type of things where, future humans have come to Earth.
Yeah, well, they certainly could be, some of them could certainly be time travelers. That is definitely on the table. I do get asked the question, were they men in black? And I did spend some time at NSA. And people kind of joke around sometimes that I was once a man in black, because there were times that I have to go off site and dress in a suit to, you know, some,
right,
hidden location, hidden in plain sight. But, you know, so you kind of had to dress the part. So there's an interesting story. Albert K. Bender from the 1950s, he headed up the International Flying Saucer Bureau. He founded that in 1952, ran it for about a year, and then all of a sudden just disbanded it out of nowhere. And this was a organization that had gone, that, you know, it blew up. It went international like almost immediately. They had offices in the UK, Australia. It was big. And they were doing a lot of this early UFO research. And then out of nowhere, he disbanded the thing. And he wouldn't really talk about it. Gray Barker, early writer and publisher, during that time, tried to coax it out of him. He included a few snippets in a book that he had published. But Bender wouldn't talk about it forever until like the early 1960s. He finally comes out with Flying Saucers and the Three Men and explains what happened. And what he says is that he was visited at night by three hat-wearing, shadowy entities with glowing eyes. They smelled of sulfur. And I'm listening to this story and I'm thinking, these are shadow people. These are the hat men,
right.
That everybody talks about. And he actually believed that they were ETs, that they were extraterrestrials, because they told him, you need to stop going down this road. You need to stop your research on UFOs. Mm-hmm. And they showed him different things about, they were supposed to be harvesting resources in Antarctica from our water and things like that. So he believed that they're ETs. Other people hear the story and they say, no, these are the men in black. So, just depending on which lens you're looking at it through, it could be, any of these three, right?
Well, I'm going to ask a couple questions from the chat room. These are really good questions. We have one from Triple Crown. I think that's a whiskey. I'm not for sure. But says, question for Mike. If there's one type of paranormal activity in any location, are there always others if one looks hard enough? So,
You tend to, in locations, find not just one thing going on, but multiple things. A lot of people will say, well, there's a lady in white here, or maybe we see shadow activity. But most locations, kind of like what they're saying, if you look hard enough, you'll find other things going on, because really it's the energy, and the energy that's there that is able to, help these things to manifest.
All right. So we have Mr. I'm going to say Kuman, but it's spelled differently. But It says, is it possible shadow entities cloak as black-eyed children or adults?
Not so much the black-eyed children. So black-eyed children, I mean, they're very interesting and creepy in and of themselves. And I do believe that they are some sort of interdimensional being like shadow entities. So they may be related.
Right.
But, you know, kind of the very nature of a shadow entity is that they have no features. Everything's black. Many are translucent. You just don't really see details. Sometimes you get the outline of the clothing, like, you know, with the hats, or, you know, they mm-hmm. might be wearing like, you know, a cape. And usually the clothing will, you know, kind of match what the hat is. So like fedora and trench coat, or top hat and a cape. Sometimes, not always. But with black eyed children, I mean, they look just like kids, you know, they're kind of like, you know, dressed a little drab, or they might have baggy clothes. Of course, you can see full facial features, and, mm-hmm. you know, they do have the disconcerting black eyes. So I do believe that they are some sort of interdimensional being from some other plane of existence, which in some cases, or in some ways, would make them related to shadow entities, but they're not the same thing.
There's
a little creeper right there.
Right. It is kind of creepy looking at that. Mm-hmm. Well, my question is, if they were not human spirits that just, you know, haven't moved on, why do they come to us in kind of a human form if they're not human?
If they're not human, Well, and they still might be like a bipedal form. So, you right. know, these shadow entities that we're seeing, they might not be human, but they still may be a, you know, bipedal form. And maybe they're related to us.
Right.
You know, because some of them, you hear that, you know, they're very tall. And, you know, unless it's a, you know, a giant from, you know, thousands of years ago.
Right.
Which I do believe we had human giants. Mm-hmm. You know, unless it's something like that, then, you know, if it's an ET that's, you know, coming across as some sort of shadow. And I think some of them, there are different ways ETs would appear to us. Some of them, I believe, are traveling interdimensionally. Others, I believe, you know, maybe using some sort of cloaking device and end up coming off as a shadow because the cloaking device doesn't quite work with our physiology the right way.
Mm-hmm.
But you hear about different sizes of these things. So it's not necessarily that they are, you know, trying to look human. It's just that they are also a biped, and you're seeing their form.
Right.
We relate it to human, even though it's not.
Right. Well, this is actually a really good question from Tyler. It says, is it dangerous to deliberately invite shadow people into our lives? How would one do that? Is anyone attempting to close the interdimensional gap or bring shadow people fully into this world? So, yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think dangerous, unless you're trying to invite, you know, some of the nastier ones in there, because there are ones that we would actually consider demonic. But, you know, when it's kind of almost the same question, you know, I think what happens is, you know, when people think of shadow, they think of something dark and, you know, mysterious and, you know, possibly, you know, dangerous or whatever, which, again, we've already talked about, that's certainly not always the case, and most times not.
Right.
But, you know, any of these times you're inviting somebody in. I mean, you could be talking to the spirit of a loved one. That's something that's coming from, you know, some other plane of existence that's mm-hmm. not, you know, here in the physical earthly plane. It's coming from somewhere else. So any of these that you're, you know, interacting with or inviting into your home, I mean, that's, you're already putting yourself into that situation. So, okay, so shadow entities are just another type of, you know, entity from another plane of existence. It shows up shadowy in nature, but, you know, they're ghosts and apparitions, ETs. It's kind of the same question for any of those.
Yeah, and it's from working with a lot of psychics and, like you said, living with one, that by it's like a Ouija board. Your intentions of bringing in a loved one sometimes can open the portal for other entities to come in.
Sure.
It's not just open for one particular spirit. It's open for many. So you have to be careful.
Yeah, and a lot of times it is, you know, you use a good word there, intention. You know, what is your intention in trying to invite these people in? Intention has a lot to do with much of this.
We talk a lot about you know, ancient civilizations, you know, Egypt and Native Americans from, you know, ancient, you know, Native Americans and Machu Picchu and many Chichen Itza that talk about, you know, the gods and the sky people and all types of things. But what do, like, Bible and other ancient civilizations talk about shadow people, or have they talked about?
Yeah, it's surprisingly, this was a fascinating part of my research. It is surprisingly everywhere. So you look into cultures from all over the world, and I have a small sample in the book, A Walk in the Shadows, of cultures from all over the world for thousands of years that have been reporting this phenomena. And they all, they've all named it something different. They each have their own little legend and lore that surround it. But they're all talking about the same phenomena. It goes back to, you see it in ancient Egypt, like we talked about mm-hmm. earlier, ancient Sumer. You see it in, you know, Turkey, Sri Lanka, Brazil. It's all over the place. You know, they just call it something different.
Right.
And, you know, they might have some legend and lore that go around it, but it's all the same thing.
Mm. I mean, to take away from this is, like I said, for me, it's to look at every incident differently. So what somebody always says is a shadow person may or may not be what the description of a shadow person is. So what do you say to those people out there, because unfortunately we're running out of time, that are mm-hmm. experiencing shadow people now? How does one approach it if they're scared, if one has touched them, grabbed them, they feel uneasy? What can one do to protect themselves or to keep the interaction little, you know, very
right,
little,
right.
Trying to keep it to minimal?
Yeah. I mean, take a deep breath, you know, kind of first ask yourself, okay, what is this thing doing? Just because, you know, you see a shadow in the room, you know, does not mean it's there to do you a harm or suck right. your soul out from your, you know, whatever. I mean, people have some, you know, fantastic ideas. But, you know, this is what I say when it comes to, like, you know, protection. I mean, whatever you believe wholeheartedly is going to work for you will work for you. Everybody comes from, like, a different belief system. So if somebody comes in and says, you know, do these different, you know, Native American, you know, traditional things, and you don't necessarily believe in them, they're not going to work for you. So, you know, stick with something that is of your belief system. You have to believe wholeheartedly that's going to work. But, you know, for somebody like me, I'm going to, you know, try to discover more about what exactly they are. You know, if a shadow's in the room, I'm going to try to find out, you know, who exactly it is. You know, it might be somebody's Aunt Jane, you know, that's just still there at the house. You know, it might be something else, but it takes time. You're not mm-hmm. going to know, because I'll get the question. You know, people will, you know, send me emails or message me and say, hey, I saw this, you know, shadow entity in my house. What is it? It's like, well, I don't know. You know, not immediately. You saw a shadow run down the hall. I'm not right. going to know from just that. It takes time in more investigative work to try to get to the bottom of what it is. And if you need to invite in a team to try to figure that out, fine. You know, if you want to try to ward it off, I mean, there's different things you can put into place. And I believe, again, we talked about intention. It has a lot to do with intention. If you right. put the intention out there, you know, to either block it or push it away, I believe that 100%, if you believe this is going to work for you, then it will work for you. And that's how we've, you know, that's how we've done cleansings in the past and how we've gotten things out of there. You know, the idea that, you know, a shadow entity can't be moved, can't be pushed out. I'll just point at our episode on The Haunted, you know, 10 years ago. That was a red-eyed shadow entity. That was a more nefarious one. That was a demonic case in which we did push that thing out of there. It was very exhausting. It was very taxing. It was one of the best episodes of the series run. Wow. And there was a lot more going on in that house on that night that we had that cleansing than they even showed. But, you know, we were able to get it out of there.
Well, this has been fun. I love this type of paranormal talk, and it's fun to get to hear somebody that goes out and in the field and brings it to the people in the studio. So appreciate you being on the show. How do people find out more about you? And if they want to help clearing their house, how do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, and Tony, thank you so much for having me on. You can find me at MikeRicksecker.com. You can also find the docuseries ShadowDimension.com. Also, I have a new learning platform, ConnectedUniversePortal.com. So those are the three main websites.
Wonderful. Well, everybody in the chat room that's been participated today, we really appreciate you. If it's been your first time, we hope you come back. And please share this show. We'd love to have you share it and leave comments, like the page, subscribe. And we hope that you come back every week because we have amazing guests, as you can see, like Mike Ricksecker. And make sure you support him by going to MikeRicksecker.com and pick up his book. You can go to Amazon and there's tons of books. I'm surprised he doesn't have arthritis in his hands like this from typing or writing so much. But until next time, I'm Tony Sweet with Truth Be Told. Mike, thank you so much, and come back again. We'd really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks again, Tony.
You got it. Take care. This has been another episode of Truth Be Told. Thank you so much for watching. Recorded live at UBN Go Studios in Burbank, California. Join us on social media. Facebook, Truth Be Told Radio. Instagram, Truth Be Told Paranormal. Go to Truth Be Told Worldwide for more information on upcoming shows. This has been another...